And I ask in Jesus' name that these words would just not just be words from an empty mind, but from a full heart for who you are. That, Lord, that we'd honor you today, not just with our lips, but with our lives. That, God, we not just sing it, we live it. We not just speak it, Lord, we'd walk it. And I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that, Father, as we do that as a church body, Lord, what could you do with a church body who worships like that, lives like that? I pray, come, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Come fill us to do the work that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. I've handed out notes today, but you can tuck those away. We're not going to go with those notes today, okay? I just rhymed. So when I think about this song we just sang about the firm foundation of the Lord, and what is that, and how do I build my life on it? Well, Jesus speaks to that. He speaks to that in Matthew chapter 7 at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. And what he says is, if you'll look at chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, acts upon them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. He says, listen, a wise man, a wise woman, a wise person will hear the word of God and not walk away from it and ignore it, but will walk away from it with everything that he is or she is to do that word. What we find in the Christian life, when you walk it out, that when you do the word, when you walk according to what God says, the Jesus way, the way God has designed for us to walk from the very beginning, he says, listen, when the trials come and the rain comes, and how many of you had trials come? Huh? How many of you have had trials? How many of you had temptation come? How many of you had just loss and things come and slam against the house? All of us. And what happens, he says, listen, if you're building your life on this foundation, the foundation of Christ, the foundation, the Bible calls him the very cornerstone. If you're building that, your life on that, then when rain and floods and all sorts of trials come, you won't be stranded. You won't fall. Because the Bible says, the next verse, he says, there's a person that's compared to the fool. So he says there's a wise man who builds his house on the rock because he's hearing these words of God and he's practicing these words. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them, he's like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I've seen that in the house of a man, a house of a woman. I've seen that in the house of a marriage, house of a family. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in, we've seen it in nations. We've seen it. We've seen devastation, because that's all that is. When things come against you and you fall and your fall is great, that is devastation. Some of us have grown up families of devastation. Why? Because we've heard the word, and I want to tell you this right now, I believe this with all my heart. If you're new to us today, 20 years ago, we adopted an unreached people group called the Hani in Southwest China. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that over there. And I want to tell you, when I walked the first time in China, I walked in places, 7 million, 8 million people, where there might be 70 Christians in the whole place. And one of the things that I see, one of the things I saw 20 years ago was that I was going to go back to Erath County where there would be 20 vacation Bible schools. There'd be Bibles everywhere in people's houses. You turn on the radio and AM, FM, and you could hear a message. You could turn on television and you could go about every three or four blocks and see a church. We live in a place that has heard the name Jesus. We live in a culture that has heard the name Jesus. And if you have any kind of experience growing up in a church or just maybe occasionally, you've heard the name Jesus. Many of us in this place have heard the word. Specifically to us, to you. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that, listen, when you hear that word and you walk away from it and you don't act according to it, you don't practice it, it's like you're building your life on sand. Now let me tell you a little bit about this sand here. He's not just talking about sand. I mean, he's probably talking, from what I've studied, he's probably talking about a thing called a wadi. W-A-D-I. You know what a wadi is? It's a dry bed that occasionally gets rain in the desert. Occasionally rain will come in the desert, and what will happen, it may be a 10-year, after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 50 years. But you know what I'm talking about. I live on a place that has a dry creek, a seasonal creek. He says, listen, a fool will build his house on a wadi. A fool will build his house on a place where you knew that there was rain that came through. Matter of fact, nobody does that. If they do, the rain's going to come, the flood's going to rise, and it's going to burst against the house, and it's going to fall, and great is its fall. Great is its fall. And just what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, you come, you hear the word. Church, you come week after week after week, you hear the word where God is speaking to you, where God is talking to you, where God is prompting you. And you know what I'm talking about. You know. And you begin to walk that out. You begin to walk that prompt out. But all of a sudden, trial comes. All of a sudden, other things come, and you get distracted. And before you know it, you're no longer doing the word of God. There's many of us in this place. Many in this place that God has asked us to do specific things that we might start to do or we might never do. And if you're new to us, this will probably be the first time you hear this. If you're not, you've heard this before. I'll say this as I said it for 35 years here. What's the last thing God asked you to do that you've not done? Because it's the things that God asked you to do that when you act upon them, you build your life on a firm foundation. Now, I want to do this. I want to tell you this. Now, I want you to pull out your notes. Okay? Because now I'm taking another direction. When Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God came upon him, in Matthew chapter 4, and God said in a voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Remember that? What's the first thing after he came out of the water that the Spirit did? The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Now, I'm not talking about pristine wilderness where it's green and where it's got streams and it's in the middle of nowhere in forest that's beautiful. I'm talking about a barren land where there's no water. It's a desert, rocky place. And that's where he goes. He goes into the wilderness. And the Bible says he goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. 40 days, 40 nights, no food. 40 days, 40 nights. Now, I just say this. This brings great comfort to me. Because I want to tell you this. There's no temptation that you've ever gone that's common to man. And God's faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Okay? And I want to say this. Every temptation that you've ever had and every sin you have walked after, Jesus experienced the temptation. Every one of them. 40 days, 40 nights, bombarded by the enemy. And the enemy comes and he says, "Hey, you're hungry. Take these stones and command it to be bread." And you know what Jesus says to him? Right here. He says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but watch this, on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." See, you build your life on the foundation because you hear God and you live on what God says. You live on what God says. You don't live on bread alone. In other words, life is not just about your physical body. It's not just about the physical things that are going on. There's a spiritual thing going on. And that spiritual thing affects your soul. And so when he says, listen, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to tell you what he was saying here. He was saying, listen, I'm not going to live my life according to the carton. So we call this the carton. Now that's what this is, right? It's a carton. That's all it is. That's what your body is. It's the carton. My dad passed away about 8 weeks ago. And so last week of his life was in a hospital bed at his home in Kenner, Louisiana. And I had a cousin come that we grew up together. My dad is one of seven sons. And we're sitting there, and he said, "Mikey?" I always say that. Don't call me Mikey, okay? No, I'm kidding. "Mikey, I'm having a hard time looking at your dad like this. Because I think that's the way I'm going to see him in my mind the rest of my life." And I said, "Matt, he's still alive, but that's just his carton right there." And he said, "Oh, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, when you go to the store and you get milk, what's it come in?" "It comes in a carton." And you don't say, "Oh, what a nice carton." Matter of fact, you don't even think about the carton. And I didn't say it like that. I'm just, you know, I didn't preach it like that to him. And I said, when you're through with the milk, where does the carton go? It's thrown away. And I kid you not, he goes, "Oh, gosh, thank you so much for telling me that." Because I've seen so many people like that I've remembered like that, but no more. Because it's the carton, it's not the man. And the question that we're asking here, we're seeing here is what are you going to live life by? Are you going to live by the carton, the flesh? Or are you going to live by the Spirit? Around here we call it either the self-directed life or the God-directed life. Self-directed or God-directed? I'm going to go by what this wants in my mind, in my heart. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not going to live on bread alone. It's not going to be about my body, although my body will one day will die for the sins of the world and will bear the sins and bear the sorrows of the world. That's what my body will do. But I'm not going to live according to the flesh. I'm going to live according to the Spirit of God. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how you build your life on the rock. The psalmist also said in Psalms, he said, listen, God, speak to me, because if you don't speak to me, I'm like one who goes down to hell. So important was the relationship with God in his life to hear God that he said, Lord, if you're silent to me, that's what I'm like. I'm like one who goes to hell. I'm like one who's devastated. I'm like one who's been destroyed. And so, God, I want you to speak to me. And I was going to say this to you. I said this to an uncle a few weeks ago, and I don't think he and his wife got it, but I just said, listen, I know God speaks to me. When God speaks to me, I want to live on what God speaks to me about. So last Sunday, the elders got together about 8:30 and got in my office, and I just said, hey, I want you to go out on the property, and I want you to spend 10 minutes listening to God. And then I want you to come back and I want you just to pray it. What you heard, I want you to pray it. And I just tell you, it's marvelous things that God spoke to our men on that morning. But I want you to tell you this, God spoke to me. And it's a word that I've been living on all week. And there's several of them, and there's five on your notes. But I want to walk through a few of them with you. So that you, especially Cottonwood here today, to know that what's on our heart, what's on my heart about what I believe God's wanting to do in your lives as we journey together to become more like Christ as the body of Christ, this local body called Cottonwood. And so I want to just tell you, I walked out of my office and I went into the place where we're going to eat in a minute. It's where we used to worship. And I hit that door, and this is what I heard God say. The gifts and the callings of God or irrevocable. The gifts that I placed on this body, individually and corporately, and the things that I call you to, I never take it back. I never take it back. I never take back the touch. If I've touched you, it's for good. I don't take it back. If I've called you, that's what I've called you to. Now, it may look different in different seasons, but that's what I've called you to. If I've gifted you, I'm not going to take it back. They're irrevocable. And you know, that's the scripture. The scripture is in Romans 11:29. And so the first word that I got was, what God gives you and calls you to, He never, ever takes back. Doesn't take it back. And I don't care where you've been, after God's touched you, and after God's moved you, and how disobedient you've been, or whatever pit you found yourself in because of poor decisions after God touched you, He doesn't take the gift back. Never. And there's some times that we walk our walk and we go through things in this life and they're hard, they're difficult, and all of a sudden we think God's left us. And God hadn't left you. If you're really in Christ, He's never left you. He's never abandoned you. And you might have a dad or a mom or an uncle or somebody who disappointed you and abandoned you and your family. But this great God will never, ever abandon you. He never takes it back. Never. That's why this Christian life is so awesome. Because what He gives, He keeps giving. And if I stand before Him and I receive it, now I've got to receive it, and I receive it by walking according to it, by doing what God asks me to do. And sometimes that don't make sense. It didn't make sense for a country church to go adopt an unreached people group, China. Didn't make sense 20 years ago. And if you were here, you probably agree with me. But that's what God asks us to do. And you know what? I'll say this. I've said it before. We've seen 50,000 people come to Christ. We've seen 900 churches planted. We're seeing a work of God. And we're just folks on the front seat watching. Now, I'll say this. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. No matter where you've been, what God's given you, He hasn't taken back. Which ought to, let me just tell you this, if you're in the pit, or if you're in a place that you know you don't need to be, and if you're in the darkest place of your life, if you know that you're in Christ Jesus, I want to tell you, if you are definitely in Christ Jesus, He has not left you, He has not deserted you, He has not abandoned you. He's waiting for you. Because He doesn't take it back. That's not the kind of God we serve. That's why I believe in the security of the believer. Now, I don't believe in the security of the unbeliever. You with me? Tracking with me? I don't believe in the security of the unbeliever, but I believe in the security of the believer. Because the believer will believe, and as he believes or she believes, she will move on in Christ's likeness. Maybe a little slower than others, but we'll move on with our God. And you know, I've been doing this since I was 17 years old. I turned 60 in 9 weeks. Well, 8 weeks, 5 days. Huh? Not counting. But I've seen it for 60 years. Or maybe 57 when I began to really hang on to things as a 3-4-year-old. That my God is a faithful, faithful God. And He's given you gifts if you're in Christ Jesus. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you believe what He did 2,000 years ago on the cross for the world, that He did just for you, and that you received this gift of salvation by believing in Him and believing this great gift that He gave to you of salvation, then I'm going to just tell you, and then you've seen fruit come from your life as a result of it. I'm going to tell you, Jesus comes in, and He comes in to stay. A few weeks ago, we talked about this God who showed up. And when Jesus showed up 2,000 years ago, remember that? 2,000 years ago, He showed up. But He's still showing up 2,000 years later. Amen. Do you remember the day He showed up in your life? And what He did for you? And what He gave you? And how He blessed you? And in that moment, you knew your life was changed. Let me tell you, you got Jesus, you got grace, you got mercy, you got favor, you got forgiveness, you got the gift of redemption, the gift of reconciliation. You got everything you needed to live godly life. You received His word, His precious and magnificent promises, and you received the Holy Spirit of the living God. That Holy Spirit comes into your life. It is part of the Godhood. I don't understand it. It's God the Father, God the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit that God gives to every one of us. The Bible calls it the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I know I've mentioned it just a moment ago, but I'm going to tell you what that means. What that means, that's God's forever presence. God says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. In Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then the Spirit comes and gives you power to be His witness. He gives you authority to defeat the enemy, and He gives you gifts to minister the life of God to one another. And those gifts are irrevocable. He didn't take them back. You still got them. And you know what I want to say to you, church, is if you're not using your gifts, I say shame on you. Because they're still there, and I'm going to tell you, they are loaded. And they are ready for action. And you find those in Romans 12, chapter 1 through 12, and you can starts in verse 6, and you can see these gifts, some of these gifts that God gives you to make a difference in people's lives. Some of you have the gift of teaching the word, and you're not doing it. Some of us have the gift of mercy, but I look at some of our posts, and there's no mercy on those posts on Facebook. I look at folks sometimes and say, listen, God wants to use you. Listen, and you may not be a teacher, but you're a servant. And God just wants to use you. I'm not recruiting Sunday school teachers here. I'm not recruiting officers. I'm not recruiting somebody to cut the grass. I'm just saying God has blessed you with gifts and callings that He will never, ever take back. Amen. Eternal life never takes back. You know, when I walked into that room over there and I heard that word, I'm going to tell you, I walked out to the steeple. In the very early days, we used to live on the place. And I just want you to know, I'd prayer walk this place when there were 20 people here, 30 people, 40 people. And it always seemed something about at the steeple. You know, steeple points up. I saw a church in Dillion that I didn't know that's where it was until I was at Dairy Queen. And I looked down, oh, there's a steeple. What church that is? Oh, that's Northside. She says, hey, we're here. Okay. Kind of what that is. But this is what I heard God, second word. I want to destroy the strong man of every house. Amen. Strong man. So what is that? Well, in three occasions, Jesus was accused, or three accounts, of casting out demons by the power of Satan himself. He's accused of that. And so what he says is that just can't be. A house can't be divided with stuff like that. That just, I don't cast out demons by Beelzebub. And then he makes this statement about the strong man in the house and how the strong man needs to be bounded and cast out. And here's my suggestion to you. My suggestion to you and to me is every one of us have one or two things that seem to crop up in our life year after year or month, season after season, that are just like a strong man. You understand what I'm saying? It may be that just that specific sin or that specific thing that you just got a propensity for. You know, my propensity was fear. Fear of dying young. The time was 10 to 27. And I'm just going to tell you, I still have a propensity for it. It's the strong man. It's the strong man that needs to be bound and taken out. Because the Bible says, listen, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from your strong man. And there's some of us in here that we struggle with lust of the flesh. We struggle with pornography. We struggle with immorality. And I want to just tell you, that's a strong man. Strong man. And you know, we'll go 5 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, and all of a sudden wake up, strong man's back. We submit to it, click, 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 click. And I want to tell you this, God wants to destroy and bind up the strong man. Some of you have anger issues, anger problems. I mean, it's just a propensity for them. You might not be angry today, but I would tell you, you get offended or you get your feelings hurt, you get offended, and the next thing you know, you're nurturing it and you're angry, and then you nurture that and you become unforgiving, and then you nurture that and you got a root of bitterness springing up. It's your strong man. And God's come to bind that thing up and cast it out of your life. That's why it's called the gospel. It's the good news. That you don't have to be tied down to those hurts, those griefs, those sins, those things anymore. Because our great God came to crush the head of the enemy in your life.
Amen.
The strong man. Let me tell you, I walked in fear. I was 27 years old. I want to tell you, fear never did anything for me. If you walk in lust, or if you walk in greed, or if you walk in anger, let me ask you, has that done anything for you? No, it's done nothing for you. But our great God comes into your life to bind that man out, that strong man out, that stronghold out, whatever that propensity is, and get him out, watch this, forever. So you're no longer defined by that. You're no longer defined by that. You no longer blow the lid. You no longer submit to the sin. You no longer submit to it. Why? Because the dog chain has been taken off by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it can't yank you to the places you don't want to go. Amen? It's the good news of the gospel. And I just tell you, I'm just telling you, church and guests, that I just believe with all my heart that God wants to send people to this place so then they get the strong man bound up and cast out. Now, I'm not talking about casting out demons. I'm just talking about getting right with God and watching the enemy flee, whatever that looks like. This is what God comes to do in our lives. So that was the second word. I've come to do this. My prayer is that God's birthing within you a belief and a faith right now that you can be free from whatever binds you. Last year, this time, I've talked about it a couple other times. I talked about it to the football team. But every one of us, we come to this life with a God-shaped hole that only God fits. The anger doesn't fit, folks. The drugs don't fit. Football doesn't fit. Any sport doesn't fit, right? Your job doesn't fit. Your career. This church doesn't fit. My ministry doesn't fit. It's God-shaped. It's the God-shaped piece. And when I find people doing all my life, watching it and seeing it sometimes, that we're stuffing everything but God into the God-shaped hole that only God can fill. What's your strong man today? What is it that you're still holding on to for the past? What is it that's defining you in this life where God is saying, I want you free from this once and for all? Because you can be free. You can be free today. Third thing. On that, when you walk into that fellowship hall to eat, there used to be a sign over it that said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I just want to tell you, church, listen, that's what I heard. My house will be called a house of prayer. You know, when Jesus said that, do you know what he did? He went into the temple, and there were some nasty things happening in the temple. And the Bible says that in one fit, he had a fit. You know, Jesus had a fit. Threw a fit. And he took tables, and he took money, and he drove the money changers out. And he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. When Jesus comes into your life, he's going to come clean house. And your house is going to become a house of prayer. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about, when I say prayer, I'm talking about an ongoing relationship with Jesus that's unstoppable. That's what I'm talking about. And yeah, we have our seasons of prayer. We have our morning prayers. But we get up and we keep communicating and keep hearing from our great God. And it's not like we become Bible thumpers and obnoxious people where we're just thumping people with the Bible. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a life that is welcoming, a life that God says, that people say, I want what you got. What do I got? I've got an ongoing relationship with Jesus who speaks to me. And I speak. And I listen and I hear and I obey. Listen, not by my strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that he gave me in the first place. Cottonwood, we've been talking about this in elders. I'm telling you, this is where we're headed. We're headed to become the house of prayer that God's always wanted us to be. Right. And I believe that with all my heart. Fourth word. When Cottonwood loves, a multitude of sins are covered. Hear what I'm saying. It's found in 1 Peter, I think, 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Okay. What does that mean? It means there's no sin too great that love can't cover. That's what it means. And when we love, and we love the way God wants us to love, God's called us to love like Jesus. When your husbands, when you're loving your wife like Christ loves the church, wives, when you're loving your husbands, when you're loving your children, listen, when you're loving the stranger, when you're loving the enemy, when you're loving your best friend, love will cover a multitude of sins. And what that means is you won't allow that relationship to be defined by their sin or your sin. You'll let it be defined by the love of Christ, because that's what we sang. I'm building my life on the sure foundation of God's love. Now, instead of judging and instead of being critical and complaining, try loving that person and watch God cover the multitude of sins. Watch him cover it. And I don't have a whole lot of time to keep with that one because I want to get to the fifth one, okay? The fifth word. Listen, I was coming out past this church and I saw the cemetery. Okay. Saw the cemetery. 35 years been passing that cemetery. We got precious saints buried there. Saints that founded this church. Chance talked about Irma Nell, one of the Stroud sisters, that the building's named after, Stroud Hall, who always dreamed God would do something significant on this place. And I saw that cemetery, and it's what God said. I'm always causing dead bones to live. I'm always causing what's dead to come to life. And I want you to turn to Ezekiel, if you would. Ezekiel. And I want you to go to 37. And this is my one of my favorite passages of scripture. And we'll close with this, okay? The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. Okay. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Now listen. From a human perspective, no way. They're white, dry bones. It means they've been there a long time. And what you're going to see in a minute, there's a great army of bones. I mean, there is a multitude. It's probably a valley where there was a war and no one went and buried their dead. Bleached out bones. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, I answered, oh Lord God, you know, because I certainly don't know, but you do. And he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I'll put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I'm the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a rattling, and bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man. Prophesy and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain so that they may come to life. Now watch. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Listen to me. There are things in your life, and there are things in people's lives that you know that are long, long dead, and they're dry, and they have no hope. And maybe you're here today, you have no hope because whatever that was is dead, and it's been dead a long time. Maybe you've got a dad, maybe you've got a mama, maybe you've got a brother, a sister, a son, or a daughter that's lost as a goose. They don't know Jesus. They've not come to Jesus. They're living their life the way they want to live, and you see no hope for them. And I want to tell you, there is no hope until God says there's hope. And guess what? God's always saying there's hope. Always. This thing might be dead. It may be a dead marriage. It may be a dead relationship. It may be a dead, just a relationship with God. It's just dead. It's dead. And I've got a great God who comes along and says, come to life. Because that's what salvation's all about. That's what the Christian life's all about. I once was blind, but now I see, right? Listen, I was once lost and now I'm fine. I'm going to tell you this. I once was dead, but now I am alive. Last week we shared just a moment, just a passing. I say it again. Listen, you were dead in your trespasses and sins when Jesus came along and did the same thing when he said to you, come alive. And folks, that's what I want to pray today. That's what I want us to be about. I want us to be about seeing dead bones come to life, so that we're a living organism for the glory of God in this place. A people that were once dead but now are alive in Christ Jesus. But that's where we were, weren't we? We were dead in our trespasses and sin when the Bible says he made us alive together with him. And since there's so many of you that weren't here last week, I'll just say it like this again. If you heard this last week, I don't have to ask for forgiveness, but I'm going to say it again. It's like the corpse in the funeral home. And like I said last week, when I first came out here and I saw how people talked to the corpse, it blew me away. Don't you look good? Touch it, kiss it. Talk to it. Take pictures of it. But that corpse can't hear you. It can't see you. It can't smell you. It'll never respond to you because it's a dead corpse. It's a dead body. It's a dead carton. And when God passed your carton, he breathed into it the life of God and said, come to life. And this is what our God does. He brings things that do not exist into existence, and he calls into being that which does not exist, and he gives life to the dead. That's what he does. That's what he did in your life and in my life. I'm so grateful to hear that word when I look at the cemetery. That dead bones can come to life. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Okay. Whoever's got their alarm set on 12, that's a no-no. I want to ask you a question. Is there something dead in your life right now that you desperately want to see come to life? Is there something in your life that's just dry? It's just like dry bones. It's so long gone that there's been no hope. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were ungodly, he died for us. While we were living the way we were living, he died for us. And he came alive. He came along and he gave you life. He gave me life. Today you may be here today and you might be asking the question, am I even alive today in Christ? Do I really know Him? And do I know He knows me? Have I given my life to Him? Am I building my life on the sure foundation of the rock by hearing the Word and doing the Word? Am I living on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, or am I living according to the flesh? Jesus made a decision. I'm not going to live by the flesh. I'm not going to live by the cart. I'm going to live by the Spirit of the living God. That's our commitment today as a church family. That we want to hear God and we want to walk according to Him. So maybe you're here today and just a couple of things. Maybe you need to hear this again. What's the thing that God's asked you to do that you've not done? And you know what that is. It may be to go forgive somebody. It may be go ask forgiveness to somebody. It may be go to make restoration with somebody. Maybe to give something that you've stolen back. Maybe God's asked you to truly, truly forgive your worst offender. And you're still holding on to that. Our God wants to empower you to go do the things that God's asked you to do that you've not done. This is where life is found. This is where the gospel comes alive. This is where the fruit of the Spirit comes. This is where joy comes and happiness comes and life comes. When we decide that we're going to live for our great God. God, I just ask in Jesus' name that this sermon would be a seedbed for some that would grow to one day bear fruit. For others, I pray, Lord, that it's a watering, it's a fertilizing. And then for others, it may just be the harvest today. Where God, that you come and you give life to where life is dead, where there is death. Father, I ask that you'd come to do this in every life here today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I am just so glad that you are here today. Thankful for the team that's here today.